Chapter 15 Searching for Homer's Heroes. Heinrich Schliemann, 1822-90, is among the most famous and most controversial of all early archaeologists. He was the fifth child of a Protestant clergyman from northern Germany. A poor student, he left school at the age of 14. In his teenage years, though, he fell in love with the poems of Homer. Writing during the 8th century BC, Homer created two great epics packed with Greek heroes. The Iliad and the Odyssey were probably based on tales recited and sung by Greek poet-singers over many centuries. The Iliad tells the story of the Greek siege of the city named Troy. The Odyssey recounts the adventures of one of the warriors involved, Odysseus, as he returned home. They are some of the finest adventure stories ever written. If Schliemann is to be believed, his father would recite stories from Homer's epics in the evenings. From an early age, the young Heinrich was desperate to discover Troy, believing the two great poems to be accurate historical accounts. Did Troy exist, and where was it? Did the siege actually take place? Schliemann spent much of his life trying to find out. His obsession with Troy stemmed from his love of Homer, rather than any scientific basis. Scholars did not even believe that the city had ever existed. Experts on the epics held that they were the product of Homer's imagination. At best, Schliemann's fascination with Troy seemed eccentric. And anyway, there was little chance that he could prove the experts wrong. He was dirt poor, lacked education, and was apprenticed to a grocer. In 1841, Schliemann walked away from the grocery business and ended up in Amsterdam. He had a talent for business and languages and made a fortune from trading dyes in St. Petersburg, Russia, from banking in California, and from war supplies during the Crimean War. Now a multimillionaire, in 1864 he retired from business to devote the rest of his life to archaeology and Homer. In 1869, he toured Italy and Greece. He learned modern and classical Greek, the latter in 2 years. His travels included Odysseus's homeland, Ithaca, the Greek islands, and finally the Dardanelles Strait in Turkey. There he met Frank Calvert, an English diplomat who owned half a large mound named Hissarlik, near the entrance to the strait. Like Schliemann, Calvert was interested in archaeology, Homer and Troy. He had dug some shallow trenches into Hissarlik, but had found almost nothing. Nevertheless, he firmly believed that this was Troy. His visitor rode around the dusty mound and its surroundings, the Iliad in one hand. He tried to reconstruct the landscape where Homer's battles raged. Schliemann came to share Calvert's conviction that Hissarlik really was Homer's Troy. With deep pockets and restless ambition, Heinrich Schliemann decided to dig for the siege of Troy. Schliemann had no excavation experience whatsoever. All he brought to the dig was a conviction that Homer had recorded historical fact. He started modestly in April 1870 with a small trial trench and found a huge stone wall. But was the Homeric city at the top of the mound or at its base? The wall merely whetted his appetite for a much larger dig. He applied for a permit from the Sultan of Turkey, which did not arrive until 1871. Meanwhile, he looked for a Greek wife, interviewed several candidates, and finally married the young and beautiful Sophia Angastraminos, the daughter of a shopkeeper. She was 17, he was 47. The marriage was a success, and she became a partner in his work. In October 1871, Heinrich Schliemann started excavating at Hissarlik. He recruited 80 laborers and set them to work on the northern side of the site, searching for the city described by Homer. He was now convinced that it lay at the bottom of the mound. Armed with pickaxes and wooden shovels, the men dug a large trench 10 meters deep in 6 weeks. This was no archaeological excavation. Schliemann quarried ruthlessly through stone walls and foundations, a jumble of stone blocks, perhaps the remains of the walls of a great city, emerged from the bottom of the cutting. Schliemann had started work at Hiserlik with no firm plan. He had his copy of the Iliad and pot fragments, and partially exposed stone walls suggested that rich pickings might lie below the surface. His methods were direct and simple. Move lots of soil using lots of men. He remarked that the scale of his excavations required at least 120 men. Schliemann readily admitted in his account of the excavations that he had been forced to demolish the remains of temples, fortifications, and even burials in his single-minded quest for the Homeric city. In 1872, the Schliemanns returned with a huge stockpile of picks, shovels, and wheelbarrows. They built themselves a house on top of the mound. Living conditions there were harsh. Strong winds whistled through the thin planks of their dwelling, and once a fire threatened the house. Schliemann attacked Troy on a huge scale. Three foremen and a surveyor supervised up to 150 men. Large teams peeled away the strata of the mound like a layer cake, and the excavations finally reached the base of the mound at a depth of about 14 meters. Schliemann renewed his reckless assault, cutting a huge trench through the mound from north to south. At season's end, he had excavated almost 250 square meters of earth and archaeological layers. Even with modern earth-moving equipment, this would have been a stupendous feat, but he did it all by hand. It was no coincidence that some of his supervisors had worked on Egypt's Suez Canal, which cut through Egypt from the Mediterranean to the Red Sea. The results were astounding. It turned out that city after city had flourished at Hiserlik. Each had erected its buildings on the foundations of earlier settlements. By the end of the 1873 season, Schliemann had identified no fewer than seven Troys. By 1890, he added two more. The earliest city was too small, and so Schliemann announced that the third city from the base was Homer's Troy. Many treasures of copper, gold, and silver were contained in a dense layer of burnt masonry and ash. This showed that the city had been burnt down. "Obviously," said Schliemann, "it was the city destroyed by the Greeks. The later cities in higher layers were more recent." From May 1875, the diggers focused their efforts on this third city. One hot morning, Schliemann spotted gold gleaming 8.5 meters below the surface. Dismissing the laborers, he himself quickly cut into the soft earth and removed the priceless finds. Or so he wrote, for no one witnessed this sensational discovery. Back at base, Schliemann spread out his treasure of gold pendants and earrings, chains, brooches, and other unique ornaments. He seized the opportunity and named it Priam's Treasure after the legendary Homeric king of Troy, claiming it was the monarch's property. The discovery caused a sensation, but there are real questions as to whether the treasure was in fact all found together. Many experts believe that the Schliemanns assembled it from isolated gold finds made during the excavations. Whatever the truth, Schliemann quietly smuggled all the gold out of Turkey and hid the artifacts in a garden shed in Athens. He later decked out Sophia in part of the treasure, like a Trojan princess. When the Turks learned of the find through a German newspaper, they were furious. The controversy over Heinrich's smuggling was only settled with the payment of a huge sum to the Ottoman government. Troy and Priam's Treasure made Schliemann an international celebrity. But many scholars were profoundly distrustful of him, some even accusing him of buying the hoard's ornaments in Constantinople's bazaars. Having accomplished so much, many archaeologists would have taken things easy. But not Heinrich Schliemann. For some time, he had had his eye on the walled fortress of Mycenae in the north corner of the fertile plain of Argos, southern Greece. Mycenae was said to be the palace and burial place of the legendary king Agamemnon, leader of the Greeks at Troy. Schliemann was firmly convinced of this, and in 1876 the Greek government reluctantly gave him permission to excavate there. Once again, Schliemann operated on a huge scale. 63 men cleared the famous Citadel Gate adorned with a lion sculpture. Others worked inside a circle of stone slabs, which Schliemann called tombstones. Even before he had dug below them, Schliemann announced that he had found Agamemnon's burial place. After 4 months, the Schliemanns had unearthed 5 graves containing 15 bodies, each dripping with gold. Until the discovery of the Egyptian pharaoh Tutankhamun's tomb in 1922, the Mycenae burials were the greatest ever archaeological treasure. Several gold death masks featuring beards and clipped mustaches came to light. Hammered, embossed gold plates, delicate crowns and vessels, and dozens of small ornaments emerged from the graves. Schliemann basked in international glory, and the entire world followed the excavations. 2 ruling monarchs and a prime minister visited the dig. Schliemann announced that he had found the bodies of Homer's heroes. German scholars promptly dismissed the claims. By 1900, archaeologists like Arthur Evans, see Chapter 18, had shown that Schliemann had, in fact, discovered the Mycenaean civilization, a magnificent Bronze Age society that flourished around 1300 BC, so later than Homeric times. Heinrich Schliemann remains something of a mystery. He himself seems to have thought he was God's messenger, sent to bring the truth about Homer to a waiting world. His admirers called him a genius. His enemies labeled him an egocentric lunatic. He may have been single-minded in his pursuit of wealth and Homer, but behind it all, both he and Sophia were gentle, kind people. The Mycenae discoveries turned Schliemann into a respected elder statesman of archaeology. He returned to Hiserlik in 1878, this time with an esteemed German scholar, Rudolf Virchow, who studied the geology of the Trojan Plain and Mound. Schliemann was smart enough to realize that his methods were outdated. German archaeologists at Olympia, the ancient site of the Olympic Games, were revolutionizing scientific excavation. See Chapter 16. From 1882 to 1890, Wilhelm Dorpfeld, an archaeologist and architect trained at Olympia, excavated alongside Schliemann. They worked closely together and established that the 6th city, not the 3rd, coincided most closely with Homer's Troy, if it had actually existed. Meanwhile, Schliemann continued to excavate elsewhere. He dug into another Mycenaean palace on the summit of Tiryns, also on the plain of Argos. It was famous for its fortified walls made of colossal boulders. But he was now paying closer attention to small finds like potsherds, fragments of ceramics. Many of them bore geometric painted patterns very similar to those found on Crete. Schliemann's restless mind then turned to that island, home of King Minos, ruler of Crete, in Homer's epics. Legend has it that Minos kept a bull human, the Minotaur, in a labyrinth beneath his palace. Theseus, son of the king of Athens, was said to have killed the Minotaur with the help of Minos's daughter, Ariadne, who guided him out of the labyrinth by means of a thread. The story of Theseus and the Minotaur was the kind of historical mystery that Schliemann found irresistible. The palace allegedly lay at Knossos, a hillside near the capital, Heraklion. With characteristic boldness, Schliemann tried to buy Knossos. Fortunately, he was unsuccessful and returned to Athens in disgust, leaving the Minoan civilization for later and better-trained archaeologists to investigate. See Chapter 18. A whole new generation of archaeologists was inspired by Schliemann's work and by his ability to make great discoveries. Schliemann died suddenly in Italy, convinced that he had proved that what Homer wrote in his epics was historical truth. In that, he was wrong, but he did make thousands of people aware of archaeology.